You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Television shows seem to imply that sexual immorality and marriage unfaithfulness are okay. But the Bible states clearly, fornicators and adulterers God will judge.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of love and God of grace, Thou hast spoken clearly in Thy holy word, the Bible. Thou hast made known Thy righteous anger toward sin. By Thy Spirit, enable those now caught in the grip of habitual sinning to see the terrible error of their ways. Cause those who gossip to repent and enable those involved in sexual looseness to turn from the devil's trap. Cause those who are wrecking homes and families, O Lord, to stop their evil. And, O Lord, let all people everywhere see Thy crucifixion cross, the blood of Thy Son Jesus, which cleanses the sinner from all sin. And let the forgiven see the power of the Easter resurrection, which enables the forgiven sinner to fight off temptation and to run the race, to receive the prize, the glorious crown of everlasting life. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen. Unfaithful men and cheating husbands have played their sinful games in every culture and in every generation. But in the country of Chile, some angry women have had enough. They are fighting back and they've organized into groups. They have trained themselves in karate. They go out into the streets at night, and if they locate a cheating husband, they abuse him by roughing him up and they steal his clothes. They force him to walk through the streets naked, and they warn him to straighten up and change his ways or something worse will happen to him. One man who has gone through this bizarre experience said, "I can tell you that these women are mean. I'm taking no chances. Since they got me, I've been 100% faithful to my wife." Wives are not the only ones angry at unfaithful men and cheating husbands. God is also angry. The Bible says, and I quote, "Let marriage be held in honor among all men, and let the marriage bed be undefiled." The Bible adds this warning also, "Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge." According to a poll conducted by Psychology Today magazine, by the time husbands and wives reach the age of 40, 50% or one half of them have had at least one affair. It seems as if more and more people are adopting the marriage philosophy of Zsa Zsa Gabor. She said, "It is never easy keeping your own husband happy. It is always easier to make someone else's husband happy." The pressures to tear down the safeguards God has placed around marriage are a millionfold. And tragically, we've come to eagerly accept television programs whose main characters are shown in open adultery and sinful living. These frequently aired programs do not hesitate to make light of God's sacred institution of marriage. Young people growing up under this influence will certainly be led to believe that the sinful and the abnormal is normal, and that sinful living is acceptable among men and women, and that adultery and fornication are looked upon with hearty approval by God. This is not, however, what the Holy Scriptures clearly teach. In the Bible, Romans chapter 13, we read, "Let us behave properly, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lusts." And in 1 John chapter 2, we also read, and I quote, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Heavenly Father is not in him. Love for God is not in this individual." And I continue to quote from the Bible, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not of the Heavenly Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away," the Bible says, "and also its lusts. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, it is not easy to change sinful habits, and it is not easy to break the grip of sin once it has grasped a hold of our lives. Once we give in to the habit of sinful lust, once the wicked web of Satan settles upon us, then our situation becomes helpless and even hopeless. We can no longer, by our own power and strength, rescue ourselves. We need help from an outside source. Movie stars, wealthy businessmen and women, doctors, lawyers, and even well-known politicians can amply testify to this. If the life-giving and soul-saving message of the Bible were not available, then suicide would be the most logical answer. But sin-removing power is available, and it is available for you at this hour. Power for you to flee all temptations of lust is available from your gracious, loving, and merciful God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, His innocent blood paid for your sins and mine. The Bible says it like this, and I quote, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins." The blood of Jesus is our spiritual bleach. The blood of Jesus Christ purifies us as God washes our sin-stained hearts and minds in His cleansing and purifying grace. But that's not all. After His sacrificial death, Jesus Christ was then placed in a cold grave. However, 3 days later, on a glorious Easter morning, Jesus Christ rose triumphantly from the dead. And this stunning resurrection event powerfully demonstrated that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God and the only Savior of mankind, has utterly destroyed the power of sin, the power of death, and also the power of the devil. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ must be made known to all those whose lives are now controlled by sin. Those enslaved by sin must hear the good news that they can be freed from the slavery of lust. And those who by faith trust completely in the loving Savior will be enabled to sing with the hymn writer who wrote, "In the midst of utter woe, when our sins oppress us, where shall we for refuge go? Where for grace to bless us? To Thee, Lord Jesus, only. Thy precious blood was shed to win full atonement for our sin." Oh no, don't let your life be controlled anymore, not one day more, by the demons of destruction and despair. God does not want you to live in the bondage of sin. Your Savior is offering you new life and new joy. He stands ready to grant unto you His victorious power to flee sinful lusts. And so, admit to your gracious Heavenly Father your failures, and then turn in repentance to your loving Savior. Say an adamant no to sins that are now dominating your life. Examine your life honestly, and do it openly in the presence of God this hour. Don't make excuses for yourself or rationalize your disobedient ways in order that you can then continue to cling to your sinful desires and the lusts of this world. If you readily gossip about others, then stop it. And if you as a businessman or woman are cheating on your receipts, expense allowances, or mileage claims, then cut it out. Stop your sinning, Jesus says. If you as a teenager have a rebellious attitude toward your parents, then let the power of God change you. The Bible clearly states, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Perhaps you have the sinful habit of losing your temper. This is a terrible thing. It's a terrible sin. One writer in Newsweek magazine states, getting mad actually creates more problems than it solves. It escalates hostility and anxiety. And don't ever say that you can't help it. With God's help, you can become a patient and a loving person. If at this moment you feel helpless and under the grip of any one of these sins, then listen closely. In the Bible, Hebrews chapter 2, we read, and I quote, Since Jesus himself, was tempted in that which he had suffered, he is also able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Yes, the Bible states it clearly. Jesus knows your temptations. Jesus understands completely your situation at this hour, and the Bible declares, and I quote, Jesus sympathizes completely with our weaknesses. And now listen to this, and I quote again from the Bible, Now let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Yes, at this hour, take just a moment and go someplace to be alone. Close your eyes and visualize the bloody cross on which your Savior gave His life for you. You and I are sinners. This is what the Bible says. It does no good to either deny this or to remain indifferent. In fact, the Bible states, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Jesus died for us. He died for you and me. The prophet Isaiah tells us plainly, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Oh yes, Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so Jesus did not open his mouth. Jesus suffered for us. He died a painful death because of our sins. He died, the Bible says, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. This loving Lord Jesus died, this rescuing Redeemer was raised on the third day, and now this beautiful Savior lives by faith within His followers. And so in that hope and confidence, I encourage you today to turn from your life of slavery to sin. Say no to worldly lusts, no to gossip, no to pride, no to overindulgence in food, pleasures, and wealth. No to reliance on alcohol and drugs, and no to selfish and sinful attitudes in your home. Disharmony and divorce may be threatening your home, but it doesn't have to go any further. A recent news article described a divorce hearing held in Dallas, Texas, involving 108 people at one time. The entire transaction, imagine this, the entire transaction took only 20 minutes. And that's all the time it took for man to destroy what God had ordained. And according to the newspaper account, this bizarre assembly line ceremony ended in a burst of laughter when the judge announced to the new divorcees that they should wait at least 30 days before getting married again. Divorce may be becoming increasingly popular, but don't be fooled. Even if it is done in a large assembly and with the approval of a court-appointed judge, it is still a terrible sin, and God's judgment shall surely come upon those who casually regard the sanctity of marriage and make light of the sin of divorce. Oh, alone you cannot resist and defeat the evil one in your life. He is more powerful than you are. By his clever designs, he will trap and destroy you. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Messiah, who is true God in every sense, this Jesus can empower you to live a life free from the clutches of sin. Don't rely merely on my opinion for all of this. Trust only in God's reliable promise to you recorded in the Bible. I am quoting now from 1 John chapter 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. This is to say, greater is Jesus who desires to live in you through faith than the devil who lurks around in the world seeking whom he may devour. Ladies and gentlemen, in this life the devil will always be around. In fact, he may succeed in tripping you up even after you become a Christian. However, you can be free from the domination and the control of sin in your life. And so I encourage you to believe and trust completely in God's power. Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone, the Bible says, loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world is passing away, and also the lust. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Let us pray. O God of love and God of grace, look with tender mercy on those individuals whose lives are now controlled by worldly lusts and other sinful habits. Break them loose, O Lord, and make them free. By thy Spirit, O Lord, enable these helpless slaves of sin to sincerely and to openly repent. Enable them also to turn completely from their sins and to return to thee. By the bloody crucifixion wounds of thy redeeming Son, O Lord, wash them clean from sin, give them the real joy of thy resurrection, and empower them even in the midst of the most wicked schemes of the devil, so that they can resist and fight off all temptations. Empower their lives, O Lord, and give them hope and joy. And already now, allow us all who are trusting in thy redeeming Son by faith today to envision heaven, thy gracious gift, and our own glorious destiny. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray, amen.